Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here. Now, you've spoken about a tsunami of infrastructure on the way. It's quite an image. What do you mean by that? In what areas?
Almost everywhere you look. For instance, by the year 2050, which isn't that far away, we're talking about having about 25 million kilometers of new paved roads on the planet, which is enough to go around the Earth more than 600 times. We've got literally thousands of major hydroelectric dams being constructed across rivers all over the world. There are hundreds of thousands of new mining and oil and gas projects, and then that's not even including things like logging projects and many other kinds of things, energy infrastructure, power lines, gas lines. We're really living in the most dramatic era of infrastructure expansion that's ever happened on the planet.
Who are the major players in this infrastructure boom?
Well, there's a lot of major players. I mean, you've got corporations and you have government. And then, of course, in many cases, you have the major development banks. So this includes things like the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Asian Development Bank, the African Development Bank, and the Inter-American Development Bank. And then a couple of new players, or at least rapidly emerging players, is the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, which many people have discussed recently, in which Australia has joined, and also the Brazilian Development Bank, BNDES, which is becoming a very big power in South America. And so it's really been these new banks that have created a lot of stir and a lot of concern about what might be happening with infrastructure in the near term.
Well, it's quite intriguing thinking of living in this age of infrastructure when so much is going to be happening in such a short amount of time. I mean, in terms of natural history or even human history, it's not been that long since we began the industrial age, and we've seen huge swaths of damage done to the environment within that fairly relatively short space of time. In what areas of the environment do you think will we see the most effects? What areas of the environment are going to be the most affected?
Well, what's happening with the infrastructure is it's basically penetrating everywhere, and it's going, roads in particular, for instance, are just penetrating into the last wild places on the planet. It's fragmenting the world's forests and ecosystems. It's causing huge amounts of habitat destruction. It's causing enormous impacts on wildlife, for instance. In many areas, we see big increases in poaching. Just for example, in the Congo Basin, there's been over 50,000 kilometers of new roads built there in the last decade, and we've seen two-thirds of all the world's forest elephants slaughtered in the Congo Basin over that time. We've seen big increases in fires, big increases in greenhouse gas emissions because of all the habitat destruction, illegal gold mining, land speculation. There's just an avalanche, a Pandora's box of different kinds of changes that are happening in ecosystems all over the planet, but especially in the world's last surviving wild areas, and it's also imperiling many of the world's protected areas because new roads are encroaching into them, either cutting through them or going very near them, and are causing them their environmental values to be diminished. So it's truly, I mean, in my personal opinion, this outstrips climate change, this outstrips almost any other environmental threat we want to talk about. This is really the biggest impact on the environment that's happening today.
Well, surely with all the work that's going into sustainable technologies in this day and age, though, wouldn't we expect to see an increase in more sustainable buildings and building methods being implemented? Is this not happening?
One would like to think that was happening, but in truth, and especially when you look at the developing world, in fact, about 9/10 of all the new infrastructure is happening in developing countries, and many of these include tropical and subtropical nations, which, of course, sustain many of the world's most biologically and environmentally important ecosystems. So these developing countries are seeing enormous changes, and in fact, we're not really seeing a lot of smart infrastructure in these places. For instance, my colleagues and I recently finished an analysis of the Brazilian Amazon, and we found there, for every 1 kilometer of legal road, there were almost 3 kilometers of illegal roads. And of course, there's no environmental guidelines at all happening around that. We see the same kind of things happening in Sumatra, in Borneo, in New Guinea, I mean, in Africa. Everywhere we look, what we're seeing is in a lot of these remote frontier areas is a great deal of illegal or very, very poorly regulated activity, as well as just a huge amount of industrial activity, very aggressive development, in many cases predatory development. So it's pretty alarming. I mean, it's incredibly alarming, the scale and the pace of what's happening right now.
Just as perhaps a final point, Bill, is there a top-down way of enforcing a more environmentally friendly coexistence between infrastructure and nature? Do governments need to do more to perhaps step in?
Well, I think they do. I think there's a real dire need for more environmental planning and more, you know, more systematic use. We certainly don't argue that all infrastructure is bad. Humans need infrastructure for lots of reasons, but there's good places to put infrastructure and to improve infrastructure, and there are places where you really don't want to improve infrastructure. And some of the stuff that we've been talking about recently with respect to the major development banks is with the new development banks, like the Asian Infrastructure Development Bank and the Brazilian Bank, they have come in with looser and much more fast-tracked environmental and social standards. And what's happened alarmingly recently is now the World Bank has announced that it's actually loosening its environmental and social safeguards in order to try to remain competitive with these new players. And what we're really concerned about is that the other banks may now also basically engage in a race to the bottom, that they're going to all be loosening their environmental and social safeguards in order to try to compete with one another. That, to me, is really frightening, because what we're expecting to see happening, and in fact what the G20 nations pledged when they met in Australia in 2014, is an incredible amount of money, between $60 and $70 trillion, going into new infrastructure by the year 2030. That will more than double the global investment in infrastructure. So we're talking about the greatest tsunami of infrastructure building ever on the planet. And these major development banks and governments, of course, are playing a major role in that. And if we're going to see this race to the bottom, if we're going to see this loosening of environmental controls, then quite frankly, that says that the direction, that all the indicators of social and environmental change are frankly pointing in the wrong direction.
Very concerning stuff. Bill, thank you very much. I do appreciate your time coming on and speaking with us about this one this morning.
Thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure.